Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Today we finish our series called Behind the Vote, where you ask, we answer from God's Word, and then you decide. And so I've just got a few minutes here, and I'm asking that you hang with me to the very end of the service, the end of the message, because towards the end of the message, the finale, I'm going to answer a big time question that you asked. It's a big one, so hang with me till the end, but here's a sneak peek. You asked, is the Bible accurate, true, reliable, and really the Word of God? And if so, how do we No. And so hang with me. We'll get to that at the very end, and it will be worth the wait. But first, I want to jump right into your top number one question from this past week. And believe it or not, a lot of you asked this question. And here it is. Number one, you asked, is it okay to be cremated? Like, you wanted to know. What a morbid question, right? Like, is it okay? Like this was number one this past week. Kind of interesting. Now, the reason why this question was so popular, I think, is because of what was preached many years ago. Those of you that have been in church for decades, you know, it was pretty popular, actually, for pastors to preach against cremation. And what the verse they would use for this is they would talk about the verse that says, the dead in Christ will rise. And so they wondered, well, if we get cremated, are we still going to rise? Like, are we going to miss out on meeting Jesus in the air when he comes back again? And so people have wondered for a while now, of course you have, well, if I'm cremated, will I miss this moment? Am I dishonoring God? And so I get why you asked the question. And so here is a very enlightening verse when it comes to this question. I'm going to get there real quick, so you may just have to write down the reference, but it's Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, part B. And this could almost be a see it and you miss it kind of a verse in Genesis, but I think it's going to really help us. I know it's going to help us. In the NLT, it says this, for you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. Okay? We were made from dust, and to dust we will return. So here's why this verse helps us when it comes to this question that you asked. The Bible says that we're all going to become dust. I just read it to you. And the truth is that if I'm buried in a box, I'm still going to be turned to dust one day. And if I'm cremated, it's just going to happen faster. All right? And so here's where we should land, that God can put us back together, okay, when it's time for us to rise and meet him in the air. So some of you are like, thank God, because we did that with grandma and I was nervous. Like even if we're scattered in different places, which some families do, like, God can still bring it back. Think about it. People who have been passed away for hundreds of years, they are dust, friend, even if they're in a box. And so I just want to encourage you, because so many people ask this question, like, just make that decision on your personal preference, okay? If you want to be cremated, be cremated. If you don't want to and you want to have one of those huge things at the funeral home, like go for it if you got the money. Just don't go into debt or have your family go into debt for that, all right? And so we're good either way. I hope that helps somebody. For you are made from dust, and to dust you will return. All right, let's get to another question that you asked along these same lines. This was a big one. You wanted to know, Pastor, will we be married in heaven? That was another big question. And I'm glad you asked this one, because this must mean you like your marriage. And so that's good. Somebody's maybe like, I hope I'm not. But for the most part, I think most of us want to be married in heaven. I'll tell you this. I wish we were married in heaven, because I love my wife. My wife and our kids are going to be at second service. My mom and dad are here in first. But Jesus, he had some things to say about this. In fact, I want you to turn to this passage, okay? Matthew chapter 22. Jesus specifically addresses this question that you asked. Matthew 22. We're going to read verses 23 through 30. And this is the NLT as well, the New Living Translation. And Jesus, his answer may surprise some. Here's what it says. That same day, Jesus was approached by some Sadducees, religious leaders who say there's no resurrection from the dead. And they posed this question. And by the way, they were asking this question to trick Jesus, to mess him up. That's not why you're asking. You honestly want to know. But they were trying to trick Jesus. And here's what they asked, verse 24. Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies without children, his brother should marry the widow and have a child who will carry on the brother's name. Well, suppose there were seven brothers, trying to trick him up, and the oldest one married and then died without children. So his brother married the widow, but the second brother also died, and the third brother married her. And this continued with all seven of them. Friend, they are trying their best to try to mess with him. Verse 27, and last of all, the woman also died. So tell us, here's the question, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? For all seven were married to her. And Jesus replied, I love this, your mistake, guys, is that you don't even know the Bible. That's what he says. Like you're asking this great question, you don't even know the Bible, and you don't know the power of God. Man, Jesus was not politically correct, y'all. Like, he would just tell it like it is. He wasn't worried about any kind of cancel culture or anything like that. For when the dead rise, here's his answer, for when the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. In this respect, check this out, they will be like the angels in heaven. And so Jesus is pretty clear here to that question. Now, I personally, and I talked about this week one, if you're brand new, I'd encourage you to check this out if you're interested. But I personally do not believe that Jesus is saying that we won't know each other. He's just specifically addressing marriage. Again, if you want more details on, hey, well, recognize my kids or my grandpa or grandma, check out that first message. But as far as marriage goes, Jesus is clear that we won't be married in heaven. So here's what I'm hoping for, okay? And if you love your spouse and you can hope for this with me, I'm hoping and I pray that my wife, Isabel, that she's going to be my roommate in heaven. I'm praying that she's going to be my next door neighbor or something like that. That's just what I'm hoping for and praying for. And if you enjoy being married, you can hope that too. All right, let's get to that big question that I teased at the beginning. And I think this is going to be a really, really good time together as I teach you for a little bit. This question, is the Bible accurate, true, reliable, and really the Word of God? It is one of two questions that I think every Christian should know the answer to. Like, if you're a Christian today and you don't know this answer, then you're going to learn it today and you need to lock it away. This is a good time to take notes. Well, what's the other question that I need to know the answer to? Is Jesus the only way to heaven? And we address that as well in this series if you want to check out some of the past weeks if you're new. And so you need to know today, like, what makes the Bible different from the Quran? You need to know today what makes the Bible different from the Book of Mormon or some other kind of quote unquote lowercase h holy text, okay? Like, you need to know what makes the Bible different. And so I want to take you to what the Bible says about itself first, and then we're going to go extra biblical. But first, the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I shared these verses recently, verses 16 through 17. Many people have this memorized in the King James. All scripture, this is NIV, is God-breathed. That means God-inspired and is useful. That's why I get up here every single week and I don't preach from Ryan's book. I preach from the book, the Bible, the good book. All scriptures, God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, we don't like that one, but it's in there, correcting and training in righteousness. Well, there's a reason, so that you may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that's what the Bible says about itself. But what about outside the Bible? How do we know? And so I hope you're ready to take some notes here this morning. The Bible's name actually means book of books. And many people think it's just one huge book that was really heavy and it's collecting dust in your closet somewhere and it has no revelation for anybody. And that's not true, friend. The Bible is relevant. The Bible is useful, and it's actually 66 books in one. When you go from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And there are honestly many reasons, many, that we can put our total trust in God's word. And today I'm just going to give you 6 reasons, but there's many others. And these are going to help you. That way you can leave today knowing that we can stand firmly on the word of God. I didn't say stand firmly on Fox News or CNN or politics, but firmly on the word of God. 6 reasons to believe it. I hope you'll write these down. Number 1, unity in Scripture. Man, we need some more unity in our nation. Unity in Scripture. What do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. There's 66 books, like I said, that were written by over 40 different authors, inspired by the Holy Spirit, like we just read in 2 Timothy. And these authors, check this out, they lived on different continents. They were from different nations. They wrote in diverse languages, and they were separated by time somewhere within 16 centuries. And even if you look at the different writers' backgrounds, they are full of variety. I'll give you a few examples, and there's slides for this in the room. Moses wrote a lot of the beginning of the Old Testament, graduate of Egyptian universities. David, a shepherd boy and eventual king. Luke was a doctor. Paul was a Pharisee, converted to Christianity and became an apostle. And even with all this diversity that I just shared with you, friend, they all tell the same story from beginning to end. Like one would think that because the Bible focuses on so many controversial things, like not just controversy today, back when it was originally written, one would think that because you got this diversity and there's so much controversy that there would be contradictions, but there's not. And that should tell us something. In fact, the Bible is a unit of unity. You won't find something in Revelation that goes against what it says already in Genesis. And this is a huge proof of the reliability of Scripture. Let me illustrate this for you just a second. Like the way the Bible was put together, we can transfer that to another thing. Let's talk football for a second. Let's pretend football has never been invented. I think that's what the Houston Texans think, you know? And so I know it's a bye week, and I thank God because I am hurting every single Sunday when I watch those games. But let's pretend it hasn't been invented, okay? Think about it. Say you took 40 men, spoke different languages, lived in different countries, and spanned the time 1,600 years. And you tried to get all of those men to write rules to a new game of football separately. And when it all came together, that it would match. I think we can all agree that would never happen in a million billion years, right? Yet it happened with the Bible. It's supernatural that it's a unit of unity. It's a big deal. Number 2. Second proof the Bible is the word of God reliable is fulfilled prophecies. And this is one of the top ones, by the way. These are in no particular order. Fulfilled prophecies. They prove the Bible is true. One example I've shared before is that over 333 details about Jesus are predicted in the Old Testament. And then hundreds of years later, they're all fulfilled in one person, Jesus. That's a big deal. The Bible's the only book in the world that contains specific prophecies which are clearly fulfilled hundreds of years after being given. Here's what I told you about a year ago, if you've been around the church for a little while. The odds of this happening, they are impossible. Of 333 details being fulfilled hundreds of years later in one person. It's staggering. In fact, I want to give you the odds. Okay, in the room, you're going to see this. But the odds of this happening are 1 in this number. That's the odds. You can't see this online. There's a 1 followed by 17 zeros, okay? That's the odds of this happening. What are you saying? It's impossible. I'm going to take it further. I haven't shared this with you before, but this will help us visualize. We love our state of Texas, right? Like our nation of Texas, right? Like we love Texas. Think about Texas, not just Houston, Harris County. Think about the entire state of Texas. These kind of odds would be like this. Us taking the entire state of Texas and filling it up 1 foot worth of quarters, okay? So the entire state of Texas, quarters not just covering the ground, but going up 1 foot. And for me, picking out one of you in the room and literally saying, you have to go to every single quarter, flip it one time, and it has to land on heads. That's the same odds of this happening. What are you saying? It's supernatural. It's impossible with us, but not with God. Fulfill prophecies. Number 3, archaeology. Many of the attacks on the accuracy of Scripture began prior to modern archaeology. However, beginning with major excavations in the Holy Land in the mid-1800s, like there's so much evidence, y'all, that it has confirmed the Bible's historical accuracy time and time again. I love this. There are over 25,000 sites that have repeatedly confirmed that the Bible is accurate. Like think about that for a second. And here's what you need to know. Like on the flip side of this, archaeology has not been kind to other religions, okay? Talking about wars that no historians, like we can't find that anywhere. There's no clue, like no way. But the Bible, and in fact, I want to give you one quote. After working in the field for many years, noted archaeologist Nelson Gleck said this. This is a direct quote. It may be stated categorically that no archaeological discovery has ever contradicted a biblical reference. Let that soak in for a second, okay? It's faith, but it's not blind faith. It's reasonable faith. Now, an important notation before we keep moving here, like the research that we've done this week and what we've looked through and what we've studied, we didn't ask Siri, okay? Just need to say that. Like, I didn't scroll on Wikipedia to find this stuff, all right? Like I heard somebody talk before, like, trying to prove something, and all their sources were from Wikipedia. And I closed up my ears, and I moved on to something else, right? Like, we're not using Wikipedia. We're not doing random Google searches. In fact, if you want to dive deeper into this, email me this upcoming week, and I'll send you some of my sources for further study. They are reliable scholarly sources that we're using. Number 4, this is probably one of my personal favorites. Science is one of the proofs that the Bible is the Word of God. I'm going to give you a few things. I don't have time for more, so I'll just give you a few. But letter A, let's talk about stars for a second. Scientists, and you know this, for years they thought the stars were all the same. Like for years, before telescopes and all that kind of stuff, they thought they were all the same. But now that we have telescopes, scientists all believe that they're different. Well, check out what the Bible says about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 41 says, "And star differs from star in splendor." Now, the Bible is not a science book, but it's so cool that you'll find time and time again that God set the standard. Why? Because he made everything, right? And he knows what he's talking about, and science eventually catches up. Here's another one, letter B, the shape of the earth. Y'all know this too. Early scientists believed the world was flat for many, many hundreds of years. But Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22 speaks of the world as a sphere. Interesting. And by the way, the Bible said all of this over 1,000 years before Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Okay? Like, I'm just trying to help you out today. Like you can know why you believe what you believe. And so, yeah, people back then, and apparently some NBA players still today, thought that the world was flat, but it's actually a sphere, okay? Letter C. This one's so good. I love this. The suspension of the earth. Here's what I mean by that. Before Isaac Newton discovered gravity, there were a lot of opinions about the suspension of the earth. Here's what the Greeks believed. They believed that the mythical god Atlas carried the earth on his shoulders. You've seen that sculpture, right? Hindus believed that the earth rested on the back of an elephant who stood on the back of a turtle that was swimming in a great endless sea. That's what they believe. What about the Bible? The Bible, in one of the oldest books, some people believe the oldest, Job 26:7 says this, "He hangs the earth on nothing." Is there faith rising up in the room today? Like, you can know why you believe what you believe. You can be intelligent and still believe in Jesus. In fact, I would say the smartest people know the truth. And the truth has a name, and his name is Jesus. And scientists didn't discover that the earth hangs on nothing until 1650. They're playing catch up, y'all. I could tell you more, but I'm running out of time. Number five, if you're taking notes, personal experience. Now, I need to say this before we move to number six, the last one. Personal experience on its own is not solid ground to stand on, okay? But when you attach it to the other ones we've already talked about and also the one we will talk about, it is definitely a proof of it. In fact, if you do historical research, any time that the Bible was translated into a community, a nation, a people group's specific language, there was advancement that took place. Like, the community got better. The nation got better. The culture got better. What are you saying, Pastor? God's way works. It works. Try sin. It doesn't work, but God's way works. And so on its own, this is not good enough, but it definitely is a support with the others. And number six, a lot of people don't know this, but this is important that you get this in your heart today, in your mind. It's the indestructibility of Scripture. Like, they don't teach you this kind of stuff in elementary school, middle school, high school, college. But for 2,600 years, all the powers of this world combined together to try to destroy this book. And yet it remains. King Manasseh of Judah, born in 697 BC, before Christ, tried and failed. Roman Emperor Diocletian in 303 AD tried and failed. In the Middle Ages, men were burned alive as they tried to put the Bible into the language of the people. Men like John Tyndale and John Huss were burned alive for no other reason except they were spreading the Scripture, and through it all, the Bible is still alive. Today, it is still an all-time bestseller. Like, James Patterson ain't got nothing on God, okay? I'm hoping that you learned something today that will increase your faith, that God's Word is 100% inspired, reliable, and unchanging. And the answer is not just because I just think so. There's proof. I gave you six. There's many others. You can stand on God's word, friend. You need to know why Jesus is the only way to heaven, and you need to know why God's word is the only word of God. And with that knowledge, it should change the way you live. Because if this is God's word, and it is, then I'm going to follow it. If people try to destroy it for centuries, and yet it's still here, I'm going to follow it. If everybody else is saying, oh, just know your truth, live your truth, I'm going to stand on the truth found in God's word that is timeless, unchanging. What did I tell you week one of the series? We believe around here that we read something in God's word that's different than how we're living. We change, not God's word. We're not about that cut and paste kind of life that's popular. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 13 because it's all about love. But I really don't like these other passages that make me change the way that I live. We believe it's all inspired by God around here. That every word I mean, I'm so crazy about this, I even think the maps are holy, y'all. Like, that's just personal. That's just a joke, okay? But I'm just saying, like, I'm all in. I got the map in there. It shows Paul's, like, missionary journeys. Like, I'm like, yes, this is good. And so we can say with confidence what you learned as a little kid. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I hope this is helping you. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that faith will be lifted in this house, in this room, in other rooms, watching online. God, that your word is reliable. We just hit six reasons quickly, but there's so many others as well. Yes, it's going to take faith. We cannot omit faith from our journey. It's a faith journey, absolutely. But it's not some dumb, blind faith. It's reasonable faith. And I pray for every Christian underneath the sound of my voice. I pray, God, that we would lock away these truths in our hearts, that we'd make sure that our notes, if we took some today, that we'd keep them in a place that we can get back to them quickly. Because our faith in you is under attack. And God, you've called us all to Christian apologetics, a defense of the Christian faith. Not to be arrogant or prideful, but what our theme verse says, with gentleness and respect, that we would share the truth that we know. And God, I pray for anybody represented today that's far from you, I pray that they would surrender their life to you. You are good. You are gracious. You're so kind. You're slow to anger. We don't have to twist your arm to forgive us. All we have to do is to look up to you and sincerely ask, Lord, would you forgive me? And you will. And you can do that right now where you're seated. Even watching this like on demand on YouTube, months, years down the road, I don't know, like right where you're at, you can surrender your life to Jesus afresh. You can't earn his love. You can't earn his sacrifice. So Jesus, I pray for anybody that's far from you that they would come close. The Holy Spirit, you would draw them as you so beautifully do. Jesus, we repent. Even now, friend, you can whisper to him, tell him, ask him, Lord, would you forgive me of my sin? I put my faith in you, my trust in you. I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross, you rose from the dead. It's important that you say those things to him. Right where you're at, you can ask him, Lord, clean me up from the inside out. Make me new. May you lift my faith today that you are real. You are powerful. I give you my life. I lay it all down for you. Thank you, God, for what you're doing today. Thank you for what you've done in this series. We've had some fun. We've answered some kind of no big deal kind of questions, just more interesting than anything. But this last question, God, we know it's important. Thank you, God, for affirming the faith that we have. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me?
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at ChristCove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at ChristCoveHouston.